Genesis chapter 32. I'm excited today because we got two baptisms. We had 7 young people get the Holy Ghost last weekend. We praise God for that. Amen. Praise God. We had an awesome youth camp up there in Stanwell Tops. And yesterday we had 40 ladies out at Cootamundra having a great day out there. And I know the ladies will be tired. That was a big day. My wife had a car full of ladies. She said it was a very loud car, praying, singing, laughing, joking. Had a great time. And wonderful ladies and our ladies from Cootamundra, I know they'll be blessed. And they'll be blessed. And I hope you get to go out there again. And especially the licorice factory. Licorice is one of my favorite things. My wife brought home a box of licorice for me. She gave it to me. I started eating and I gave it back to her. I said, you better take it away because I'll eat the whole thing. Anyone else know what I'm talking about? You got to go, like, get your wife to hide it. Like, I just keep going back again, you know. Like salt and vinegar chips, you just can't eat one. You got to keep going. Genesis 32, verse 24. I love this portion of scripture. Maybe you've read it before, but today I pray that God will speak to us out of this scripture today. And Jacob was left alone. Everyone say, left alone. He was alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw he prevailed not against him, or when that man that was wrestling with Jacob saw that he couldn't win the match against Jacob, that angel, which was the angel of God, it says, he touched the hollow of his thigh, Jacob's thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And the angel said, let me go, for the day breaketh. Morning is coming. We've been wrestling all night. The sun is coming up. The angel said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Everybody say, bless me. And he said unto him, the angel said, well, what is your name? And he said, my name is Jacob. And the angel said, thy name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved, and I live to tell the story. And he passed over Peniel, and the sun rose upon him. Everyone say, the sun rose. It was the dawning of a new day. It was a new day. How many people like sunsets? How many people like sunrises? Even better if you can get up, eh? A lot of you young people say you like sunrises. I don't think you've seen many of them. But as Jacob passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. He still had that limp. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched, that's the angel of God, touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. This wrestling match, Jacob was left alone. He was by himself in the night, and an angel of God came and wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. I want to minister on this title today, the dawning of a new day. The dawning of a new day. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this word we have, Lord, your word. God, we thank you, Lord, that your word speaks to us. Lord God, it still speaks to our circumstances and our situations. Lord God, it speaks to the things that we are facing right now. And so, Lord, as the preaching of the word comes now, Lord, turn me into a microphone from heaven. Hide me behind the cross. Lord, let it not just be my words, but Lord God, that you would speak through me, your servant today, and through your word to every heart and every situation. Lord, we pray for new beginnings today. We pray for the dawning of a new day in somebody's life today. We pray in Jesus' name, and everybody say amen. You may be seated. A wonderful account here of Jacob. I think there's nothing more wonderful than to be told that you can have a fresh start. I remember when I got in so much trouble with mum and dad. I remember a time when it just felt like everything I did was wrong and I was doing everything wrong. I was making mistake after mistake after mistake. I was sitting on my mum and dad's bed as they were counseling me, scolding me, all of those things. And I remember my dad said to me, he said this to me. He said, "Tomorrow is a new day." And you know what? I still to this day haven't forgotten how wonderful it felt to hear those words. Tomorrow is a new day. And I want to tell you today that God specializes in giving people a fresh start. How many people are thankful for a fresh start? How many people are thankful that you're not what you used to be, but God gave you a new day? And see, through Jesus Christ, we can have a fresh start. Yes, we can have a clean slate. We can have a new beginning. In Luke 1, verse 78 and 79, it says, because of God's tender mercies. Our God is a merciful God. And because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us. Because of God's tender mercy, we have a new day. We have a fresh start. We have the dawning of a new day, or a day spring, or a rising sun. And it says the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Isaiah 43 says, forget the former things. Don't dwell in the past. God says, for I am going to do a new thing. Everyone say a new thing. And so for those of you that don't know Jesus, if you're living this life and you still haven't found what you're looking for, let me tell you today, Jesus is the only answer. He is that peace that is missing. Yes, literal peace. You won't find peace until you find Jesus. There is a new day for you today. It doesn't matter what happened in your past. The Bible says that those that are in Christ are new creatures. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The dawning of a new day. And if you don't know Jesus today, I want to tell you, a new day is coming. A new day is coming. You can have a fresh start. But I've been around church long enough, been a Christian long enough myself to know that even those who are living for God and made mistakes, that when we hear of the dawning of a new day, it brings hope to us as well. Because maybe you messed up this week. Maybe you weren't the Christian that you were meant to be this week. Maybe you messed up this year. Maybe you've backslidden and you're not the Christian that you were all those years ago. Maybe today, maybe even just today or this morning, you're ashamed that the Christian that you were. Let me tell you, there is a fresh start for you. Lamentations 3 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You know, when you wake up in the morning, it doesn't matter what happened yesterday. Tomorrow is a new day. It is the dawning of a new day. The scripture says, they that wait upon the Lord, Isaiah 40, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew. Everybody say renew. We miss that sometimes. Shall renew. And so that means there was strength. For there to be a renewal, there had to be a strength that was lost. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew. If you've lost your strength, wait on the Lord, because he shall renew you. He shall renew your strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I'm talking today about the dawning of a new day. And so much of the book of Genesis is given to this man, Jacob. Genesis gives us two perspectives of Jacob. The Jacob before God's grace found him, and the Jacob after God's grace found him. And all of us can relate with Jacob, because we've got two parts. We've got BC, before Christ and after Christ. Before God's grace found us, and now how we are today and what God's grace did for us. And so Jacob could be said to be the main character of the book of Genesis. Much of the book of Genesis is given to Jacob and his life. And Jacob's name, as we read, God changed Jacob's name from Jacob to Israel. Jacob was a twin. It was Jacob and Esau. Esau was the eldest. He came out first, and so he had the birthright, but Jacob deceived Esau. He deceived him out of the birthright. In fact, Esau sold the birthright to Jacob for a pot of stew or a pot of porridge, whatever you want to call it. He deceived Esau out of the birthright, and Jacob took that birthright, and then he went in and he deceived Isaac, his dad. He went in, and Isaac was fooled by a feeling. Because Jacob went in, and he knew. Jacob was a homeboy, it sounds like. You know, he stayed at home with his mum. Esau was a hunter. Yeah, hunters, you know, they would have a bit of a smell about them after being out in the field. No doubt he would have been carrying a big lump of venison and maybe blood on his pants. As, you know, a real man. He was hungry. And he went into the tent, and Isaac's sitting in there. By that time, Isaac was old and he was blind. And so Jacob goes, well, how am I going to deceive? I've got the birthright, but now I want Daddy to put his hand on my head and to bless me. And Isaac's sitting there. He goes, is that you? You, Esau. And he put that goat's skin on his, because Esau was a hairy man. He put that goat's fur on his arms, and Isaac reached out and touched him. He goes, oh, the voice sounds like Jacob, but it's the arms of Esau. There's a lesson there for us. Don't trust your feelings. You can be fooled by a feeling. There are many people that try to interpret the Bible through their feelings. They say, well, this is what I felt, and this is what happened. That must be what the Bible says. I'm going to try and get the Bible. Don't be fooled by a feeling. Sometimes you may even say, God doesn't love me, but the Bible says He does. Don't be fooled by a feeling. Sometimes it feels like God is not with us, but He is. The Bible says, lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the world. Don't be fooled by a feeling. And so he deceived his brother out of the birthright. He deceived his father out of the blessing. And there he is. Eventually, the deceiver becomes deceived. His father-in-law deceives him, and I guess you could say things couldn't got much worse, because he fell in love with Rachel, but he ended up with Leah. I don't quite know how that happened, but he woke up in the morning and he had the not-so-beautiful sister, Genesis 29, verse 17. But he had it coming because he was a deceiver. In fact, that's what his name means, and he became the deceived. But this time, obviously, having his brother offside, Esau, there comes a time when Esau is making a journey back, and he's not coming alone. And Jacob is there, and he's in the, this is the most important crisis. Everyone say an important crisis. Nobody likes crisis. But if you look through your life, you will see, you know what, Pastor? There have been some important crises in my life. That if that crisis didn't happen, I wouldn't be where I am today. Maybe some of you are saved, and all you can say, I thank God for that crisis because it brought me to Jesus. It brought me to Jesus. All things work together for good to them that love God and called according to His purpose. Sometimes the plan of God might not be what you expected, but just like Jacob, he is right in the moment, and we have in this passage the most important crisis in his life. Jacob is in distress. Esau, who he had put offside at a long time ago, he's coming to meet him. And Jacob's thinking, you know what? Here comes Esau. He's going to come and get revenge on me. And so Jacob's scared to death. Esau's coming. Genesis 32 verse 6 says, with 400 men. All right, he's got a reason to be scared. This is no welcome party. He's bringing an army with him. And so what Jacob does, he gets worried. He says, well, here I am with all my family. He says, we're going to be annihilated by Esau. He's coming to wipe us out. Surely he is. So what he does, he splits his family up. He said, I want half of my bloodline to go there, half of my bloodline over there. And he says, it seems like everything that I've accumulated, everything that I've got, all of those things, surely Esau is coming to extract revenge. And he's there and he's having a sleepless night. Anybody ever had a sleepless night? Yeah, worrying about stuff. Sleepless nights. Yep, that's exactly where Jacob was. And there he is alone. He was alone. Night had fallen, and suddenly this mysterious stranger appears in the darkness and starts to grapple with him. All through the night, this strange conflict happens. And at some point, during this weird contest of wrestling with this angel of God, Jacob realizes that this wasn't any ordinary wrestle. He is alone and he's wrestling with God. And so when God decides it's time to end that wrestling match, he goes and he touches Jacob's hip and he knocks it out of joint. And Jacob says, in significant pain now, he says, I will not let you go until you bless me. I'm holding on. In fact, it's funny because the angel jumped on Jacob. And now the day's about to be dawn. And the angel says, let me go, Jacob. The dawning of a new day is coming. And Jacob says, no, I'm not letting you go. You grab me, I grab you. I'm not letting you go until you bless me. There are some very important words here. In verse 12, it says, and Jacob was left alone. There's something very powerful there for us. I want you to see it. You see, to be left alone with God, to be left alone with God is the only true way of arriving at the knowledge of who we are exactly. To be left alone with God. People can say all sorts of things. Puff you up, pump your tires up, make you feel great, all of those things. You can have all the wealth. You can have everything you ever wanted. But when you lay in bed at night and you're left alone and you're looking at the roof, that is the person you are. When you are left alone with God, that is the only way that you can come to the conclusion of exactly who you are and what your ways are. No matter what you think about yourself, no matter what other people think about you, the greatest question is, what does God think about me? And you won't find that out when you're just so crowded out in life and you're so busy on devices and this and running here and there and everywhere. Jacob learned a lesson when he was left alone with God. You see, away from the world, away from all the thoughts and reasonings, imaginings and emotions, just alone with God. That's how we can see who we really are. Get alone with God. You see, there can be so much noise in our life. Anybody know that that life can be very noisy? Just so much noise, so much stuff going on. Get alone with God. This angel comes and now he wrestles with Jacob until the breaking of day. From the dark right through to the dawn, this mysterious conflict goes. Now, we say, why did it take God so long to get through to Jacob? I mean, he's God. He could have done anything. He could have set Jacob straight right there and then. He could have done it. He could have ended it all so much faster than we read in the Bible. He could have done it right there and then. Because he's God. Why is God even interested in wrestling with us? Why would God even entertain that when he could just go, boom, done? Have you ever thought about that? Well, how would you like God to treat you like that? You see, when we think like that, we forget about the long-suffering of God. It's one of his nature. It says in 2 Peter verse 3, it says, his long-suffering toward us would. You see, sometimes God wrestles with us, and he's not doing it for fun. He wishes that we would just change. He wishes that we would just get it, because God is long-suffering. He suffers long with us. How many people know that God is long-suffering? How many people, you know, it feels like it took a long time for God to get through to you? It wasn't God's fault. It was your fault. But thank God that he is long-suffering. If God was like some of us, we'd have no chance. If God was impatient like us, we'd have no chance. But God was long-suffering, and he wrestled with Jacob until the dawning of the day. I'm thankful that God is long-suffering with me. He suffers long, but in the end, he accomplishes his purpose, and his grace will always triumph. I'm here to tell you that we've got a merciful God. He will do whatever he can to reach out to you. We get to verse 25, and when God saw that he could not win the match, he reached out and he touched the thigh, or the hollow of Jacob's thigh, and now Jacob has a limp. And this shows us, yeah, it shows us how quickly God could have just ended Jacob's resistance. In a moment, Jacob's power to continue wrestling was gone. Jacob is now brought to the end of his own resources. He now has a limp. With one swift stroke by the divine hand of God, Jacob is now utterly powerless before God. And here is something you ought to write down and never forget. When you come to the end of yourself, you have come to the beginning of God. Write that down. When you come to the end of yourself, you have come to the beginning of God. Let me tell you, if you feel like you're at the end of your rope, let me tell you, tie a knot in the end of the rope and just hold on, because you have come to the beginning of God. If you feel like you're at your wit's end, you don't know what else to do, let me tell you, you've come to the beginning of God. Let me tell you, if you feel like you've lost all your strength, you don't have any power to go on, you are in the best place you could be, because you're now in your weak state, God is made strong. When you come to the end of yourself, you have come to the beginning of God. And when Jacob was rendered powerless, it was there that God began to do his work. God's strength is perfected in our consciousness and our realization of our weakness. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9 says, and that his strength is made perfect in weakness. When you come to the end of yourself, you have come to the beginning of God. Verse 26 says, and we're breaking this text down, and he said, let me go. This is the angel now. Let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. What a turnaround. Can you see the turnaround? Before, he was a different guy. He was contending, striving, deceiving. He says, no, God, I got nothing. I've come to the end of myself. I'm just holding on. He said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Look at what God accomplishes in the life of Jacob. He gets to the point where he could no longer wrestle. All he could do was cling. Let me tell you, if you're at the point where you can no longer wrestle, just hold on to God. Let me tell you, this was the best day in Jacob's life. Up until now, Jacob had sought to order his life. Jacob had planned and schemed and devised, but now he was left alone. He is shown his own helplessness. He's shown his weakness. You see, God, I will not let you go. I realize how much I need you. I have no other refuge. I have no other strength. God, I am helpless. My helpless soul clings to you. I won't let you go until you bless me. And that was the dawning of a new day in Jacob's life. His hip was dislocated, yeah. God says, I'll bless you. It's not until we fully realize our own helplessness. It's not until we fully realize our nothingness that we are brought to the place where we will cling to God and say, God, all that matters is that you approve of me. All that matters is that I want your blessing. I don't care what else I have in this world. God, I need your strength. I will not let you go except you bless me. And so the angel said to Jacob, he said, okay, what is your name? Now, we're like, okay, God, you know his name. Why'd you ask a question? What is thy name? And Jacob said, Jacob. He said, well, your name's no longer going to be Jacob, but your name's going to be changed to Israel, because as a prince you have power with God and with men and has prevailed. You say, why did God ask Jacob his name? It's obvious that God was pressing on Jacob's conscience. Tell me, who did you used to be? Jacob, the deceiver, the schemer, the heel grabber. That's who I used to be. That's who I used to be. You see, before you can have a change in your life, you've got to realize who you are and who you were. You see, the significance now is, here it is. Now God says, your name shall no longer be that. Because why? It's the dawning of a new day. God says, I'm going to change your name. What is the significance of Israel? Israel means God commandeth. You see, what happened is now Jacob is clinging to that angel, and God says, no longer are you going to be in control, Jacob. I'm going to be commanding your life as a prince, Jacob. You see, Jacob, you didn't even realize who you were. You're the grandson of Abraham. You're in the blessing. You're in that lineage as a prince. You didn't even know who you were. You contended for the birthright and you succeeded. You deceived and you got the birthright. You contended and deceived for the blessing and you got it. You contended with Laban, your father-in-law, and you succeeded. Now you contended with all sorts of men and you succeeded. But now, Jacob, you contended with God and you failed. That's why he got the new name. It's no longer about Jacob contending. Now God is going to be commanding. Let me tell you, you're in a good place when God begins to take command in your life and you allow yourself to follow what God wants you to do. It's not until God stops us in our tracks that we cast ourselves unreservedly to the Lord and we say, Lord, I've made so many mistakes. I am so weak. I am so messed up. I'm clinging to you. I need your blessing on my life. Jacob's name was now Israel. It is only after we have discovered our nothingness and our helplessness that God can come in and command our life and order our steps. The Bible says, and he blessed him there. Everyone say that, and he blessed him there. You see, when God commands, blessings follow. When you allow God to command your life, blessings will follow. You want to be blessed? Then live according to God's word. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 2 says, it says, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if, everyone say if, it's conditional, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So here he is, after all of that wrestling, he's got a new name, he's got a new realization. It's been the best crisis of his life. He's got a new understanding. It says in verse 31, and he passed over Peniel, and the sun rose upon him. It's the dawning of a new day. Everyone say a new day. You see, in our mind, we seem fully competent in order to be able to order our life. We think we got it all together. But God, like a child who thinks they know everything, the parents just kind of look there like, okay, all right. Knowing that they, child, you don't know anything yet. Let's say, you know, sometimes we're trying to show God how strong we are and how much we know and all these things. In our mind, we seem fully competent to be able to take care of everything. But God, in his faithfulness and his love, comes and wants to correct this habit in his children. If there is hope for us, we must allow God to bring us to the end of ourselves. You see, Jacob is brought to the end of himself. He was a contender. Until we cease being contenders, let me tell you, the potter can't work with us. I want to be soft clay in the potter's hands. I want him to mold and to make me. I want him to take those impurities out of my life. And you can't allow, a potter can't work on clay if the clay is saying, hey, get away. Don't, not like that, God. No. Don't touch me here. Don't touch me there. I'm in control. Jacob was a contender. And until we cease being contenders, the potter can't mold us and work with us. Jacob allows God to command his life. And if we're happy to allow God to command our life, he will order our steps. Let me tell you, when you allow God to command your life and you fall in submission under God, let me tell you, it is the best day of your life. It is the dawning of a new life. When God orders your life, you will be blessed. Allow yourself to fall into line with the Word of God. Allow yourself to have an attitude that says, whatever your Word says, I want your Word to command my life. You see, God knew how to bring out the gold in Jacob's life. God created him. Stop contending. Jacob, stop contending with your creator. Church, pastor, stop contending with your creator. He knows what he's doing. Submit to the potter. Let him shape your life. Submit to God. Allow God to bless you. Let me tell you, it'll be the dawning of a new day in your life. You can have a new start today. Maybe you've made so much mess with yourself just trying to contend with God and yourself trying to order God. Let me tell you, this sermon may be a little bit hard to hear, but it's like an angel wrestling with you right now. What are you going to do? Let me tell you, just cling to God and say, God, I want you to order my life. I'm not going to contend with you anymore. I'm not going to resist anymore. I'm going to surrender to you. And when you do, it will be the dawning of a new day. Where does it start? It starts with repentance. Everything starts with repentance. If you've never repented of your sin, and you don't even know Jesus, haven't given your life to Jesus, your new day starts with repentance. If you messed up, your new day starts with repentance. Allow God to command your life. I don't want to live the life I used to live. I don't want to live the life according to my own ways and the ways of the world. I want God to command my life. Allow God, surrender all of your past hurts. Say, God, I'm giving you my past hurts. I'm giving you my present hurts. I'm giving you all the baggage that's weighing me down. I'm trapped in a bad cycle. God, I'm giving you that. I've been held hostage by bitterness and depression, doubt, or fear. Maybe I've drifted away from God. God, I want you to command my life. I want you to change my name from a contender to somebody who's commanded by God. It was the dawning of a new day. If the musicians could come right now. You see, don't give up. Everyone say, don't give up. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't give up. Don't give up. Wherever you are today, don't give up. Married couple, don't give up. Single, don't give up. Student, young person, don't give up. Backslider, don't give up. Hold on to God. It's the dawning of a new day. Clap your hands to the Lord today. Let's all stand in this house today. It's the dawning of a new day. You see, the world says this. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. The world says, once an addict, always an addict. The world says, if you were abused, neglected as a child, then you just got to learn to live with it. You'll never overcome it. The world says, if the best you could hope for is just to learn to cope somehow, to learn how to cope. That's what the world says. That's what the world says. But the scripture says, God says, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Can we read that together? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You see, in Christ, there are new beginnings. I don't know who God is speaking to today, but there's somebody here who's been contending with God. God, this is the way you're going to do it. This is the way. Don't touch me here. Don't speak to me about that. I'm in control. Let me tell you, hold on to God and say, God, I know I'm in the wrestling match of my life, but I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Maybe there's a blind Bartimaeus here today. Maybe you're blinded, waiting beside the road of life. And you see, blind Bartimaeus was there and there was no hope for him. Until he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming. Now, I'm not sure if blind Bartimaeus understood everything about the ministry of Jesus. In fact, I don't know if blind Bartimaeus even really understood the purpose that Jesus had when he was here on earth. I don't understand if blind Bartimaeus even understood that Jesus had come to die for sin, but I do know that he knew something about Jesus, that Jesus was a life changer. I don't know how he knew that, but maybe someone had told him how their life was changed by Jesus. Maybe there was someone else begging beside him on the side of the road and said, my life was changed. Or maybe someone went up to him in his darkest hour, he was there begging without anything and said, you know what, Jesus can help you. I don't know. I don't think Bartimaeus knew a lot, but he did know one thing, that Jesus could change his life. He knew that Jesus could bring a change in the direction of his life. And when Jesus was moving along that road, he made up his mind. Blind Bartimaeus is sitting there and he says, I may be blind. I may have been in this terrible situation, but I'm not going to miss my opportunity. I'm going to get Jesus' attention today. I'm going to seek after him. And he's there on the side of the road. He says, I want to receive my miracle. I don't want to be the same person I am today, again, tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. So what did he do? He sat there. He said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The people around him became uneasy. They said, Bartimaeus, shh, you're making too much noise. Jesus knows everything. Just calm down, Bartimaeus, because that's good for you, but you're not where I am. And with that, Bartimaeus cried out all the more. In verse 10, in chapter 10 of Mark, it says, and Jesus stood still and he commanded him to be called. Go and get him. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he gets up, look at this, and he takes off his beggar's coat, casting aside his garment, the Bible says, and he comes to Jesus. Are you sick of wearing that beggar's coat? Are you sick of wearing that contender's coat? Are you sick of wrestling with God? Are you ready for the dawning of a new day? Are you ready for a fresh start with God? Maybe you've been serving God 40, 50 years. Let me tell you, there is a freshness that you can experience with God today. We call it revival. Coming to life again. I'm not going to be a blind begging man after today. It's the dawning of a new day. Let's lift our hands right now. If you want to come to this altar, you can move straight away. I believe God is asking us to come and bow the knee before Him in the realization of our weakness, in the realization of our nothingness, and to say, God, I'm not here to contend with You. I'm here to bow the knee, and I'm here to submit to You today, Lord God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love You, Lord. This altar is open. Every one of us ought to make our way to a place on our knees today, whether at this altar or at your seat. Find a place on your knees and say, God, I'm not going to contend another day. I'm not going to wrestle. I'm going to hold on. I'm not going to contend with You about what I think You should do, God. Lord, I want You to command my life. I want You to order my steps. I want You to order my steps in You, Lord God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love You, Lord.